Is my mic on? Hello? 1, 2, 3. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm going to set my timer because I was raised Baptist. I might not leave when I'm supposed to. It's going to be funny watching. Who's going to go up there and tell her to shut up? Ready to go home. So let me set my timer. There we go. All right. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here among you this morning. A wonderful place. Thank you so much, Leah. Thank you, Michael, for ushering me in. And so today, as we prepare for Thanksgiving, thankfulness is a present moment act, is what I will discuss today. And Michael's actually given me a good entrance into what my talk will be. Thankfulness is about, what do you want to say? Thankfulness is about being present, as you were talking about. That triangulation of that present moment activity where you're open. Ernest Holmes says they stay open at the top. Two things Ernest Holmes said in Science of Mind. Stay open at the top, and we need more wishbone, because we need more backbone and less wishbone. Yeah, I like that. More backbone, because we can do a whole lot of wishing and new thought. We can do vision boards. We can just wish. We can wish ourselves away. And we're not creating anything, because it takes courage to be thankful, because thankfulness is about being in the present moment and understanding what is yours right now. How many people tried to live in the past? I've tried that. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. And I tried to live in the future. That didn't work, because nobody was like, well, what are you, no, none of that's happened yet. What are you talking about? Louise Hay reminded us that all our power is in the present moment. So we have to be present, but it takes courage to be present, because sometimes you want to escape. You want to be somewhere different, and that's not where your power lies. So now, I believe in merging science and religion, because they never should have parted ways anyway. You know, but so we're going to bring in a little Einstein, and the pre-Socratic Greek philosophers such as Heraclitus and Anaxagoras. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And the reason I love them so much is because, for example, with Heraclitus, he wrote in Ephesus in the year 5 BC. If you go and read Corinthians, you see a lot of Heraclitus' influence on Paul when he wrote Corinthians in the year 53, because Heraclitus pretty much ruled Ephesus. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But Einstein says, the theory of space and time is not absolute. What time is not absolute. He says it depends on variables such as the speed and the position of the observer. Exactly. I like you people. Yeah. So who's the observer? We are. We're the observer. And so what's our speed and what's our position? Well, the speed can be different things, because he goes on to say that we're simultaneously living in the past, the present, and the future. So even though you can't be thankful, you can be thankful for something that happened in the past, your thankfulness isn't in the past. You can do something in present moment that pays honor to that in the past, as well as you can in the future. But the idea of thankfulness is in the present. And that's where your power is. He goes on to say that events that are still in the future of a slow-moving individual, don't be offended. Events that are still in the future of a slow-moving individual may have already occurred in a faster-moving one. That's mind. That's mind. Having that backbone to be in the present moment, stay open at the top, so that you can receive, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for this. So now what Heraclitus tells us, and if you're not familiar with Heraclitus, that was the one that wrote, you can't step into the same body of water twice, what comes up comes down, that sort of thing. So you thought your grandmother wrote all that, didn't you? I know I did. I was like, grandmother didn't do that? No, that was Heraclitus. Well, Heraclitus says, and this is going to get you, because I had to read this one twice. He says, if you want to be different, don't be like the children of your parents. Who is he talking to and about, you know? But, and all our parents, we want to believe, and I believe most of them did, they did the best they could with what they knew. But our birthright, because we're of God, and God is spirit. You have to worship spirit, and you worship God in spirit and truth. We should be continually open to newness. Ernest Holmes said, "Stay open at the top." And Eric Butterworth said, "The unforgivable sin is the closed mind." Yeah. Oh, I like you people. I got to make sure I come back here. Yeah. I like you people. Okay, so the unforgivable sin is the closed mind. So if we're staying open at the top and we have the backbone to create, what is not within our capacity? What can we not create? We can create everything. Everything belongs to us. So actually staying open to whatever that needs to be. Now, being open is about, well, let's talk about circles for a minute. There was an essay I read. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who I love, Ralph Waldo. We're going to call him Waldo because that's what he liked to be called. And he wrote an essay in 1841 called Circles. And in the essay, he talks about how the first circle is the eye. And the second circle is what is on the horizon of the eye. And the third circle is what you're continually creating. We learn in unity, those thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. So whatever you initially produce, you just keep producing over and over and over. The trick becomes when you start producing something you don't want or something you don't want anymore, how do we make that change? How do we stay open at the top? How do we have the backbone to say this no longer supports who and whose I want to be a part of? Let me do something different. So he talks about how circles are unifying, and they represent continuity and continuousness and infinity and all that good stuff. And so what we want to do is we want to take the idea of understanding that that circle does not limit us. Matter of fact, it can expand us, all right? So you think about the idea of undivided, because a circle is undivided. But what does undivided mean? Undivided can mean there are no missing parts. Or undivided, a circle can mean that is whole. And there's a difference between being, not having missing parts, because basically what a missing part means, I took my abandonment issues, and I had my triggered issues, my unhealed issues, and I just stuck them together and said, done, I'm good, you know, and then we walk around, you know, just walking around like this, and then you go, well, I'm good, and then, yeah, but you're bleeding all over us, would you stop? You know, we should stop that. But the idea of wholeness means no matter what happens, I'm still whole. That's a thankful position to be in. Me, I don't care if I get hit with a divorce, somebody serves me with divorce proceedings or a court summons or a foreclosure, whatever it is, a demotion, we're going to have a layoff, I'm still whole. And so then no matter what happens, that wholeness propels me to the infinity that the circle represents. Now, you're still human, because that's something else we do in unity. We forget we're human. And so things are going to happen to you that are going to make you want to use that infinite pronoun and verb, and it's not thank you. It's not thank you. And that doesn't make you less whole. That makes you human, but that means now I have a process. I have something I need to step into. I have something I need to move into. And so how do I move beyond what I was told as a child or whatever and move into something new? How do I have the courage to say, okay, I was married 30 years, and now this person's told me I don't want to be married anymore? Because that doesn't make you less, and that didn't make your life less. But how do you take these teachings and these tools that we have and rebuild? As Rudyard Kipling said, rebuild your life with worn-out tools. You take new tools because you create them in mind, and you become, as Einstein said, you stay in the present moment as the positioner of the observer and in the position, and you prepare yourself into new ideas. Another thing, I read a book by Deepak Chopra, and he says, make a vow to stop doing things that never worked. How do we do that? Don't we do that? We just keep doing things that never worked. My sister, I just left Atlanta. I go home this time every year, and I put up all my mother's Christmas decorations, and I put up all these lights. It takes me 3 or 4 days to do it, and I'm going to tell her one day we got to stop all this. But I put up all these lights because they're beautiful, and my sister comes to me, and she says, why do you do that every year? I said, because it's beautiful. She says, but all it does, the lights just blow all the fuses. And then we can't back out straight, so we pop all the lights back and out, and the bros fuses, and you come home mad every year. Why do you keep breaking my light? She said, why do you keep doing this? I said, because it's pretty. She said, it's not pretty when this side doesn't work, and that has, you know, she said, it's not pretty then. And I was, so this year, I did less. And it was pretty. Thank you. I like you people. You know, I did less, and it was pretty. And now when the lawn man comes, he's not going to tear my lights up. And my mom's not going to back over a whole line of them, you know. And they're not going to blow all the fuses. And my sister, I'm not going back out there fixing those lights again, you know. And so doing something better, doing something different that actually serves everybody, including me. Because what happens when we keep doing things that we don't want to do? We get mad. And then we become a martyr. You know what I do? I do everything here. These people, they have no appreciation for me. And when you try to say, well, maybe you should go have a conversation with them. No, they don't understand me. I'm on a different level. I just need to... I'll just suffer. I think the Bible talks about suffering. So getting back to the idea of circles and the continuity they represent. And so I'm going to bring in an example because I love merging science and religion. I'm going to bring in a little math. Not enough to make you get that tick you had in the eighth grade. But just bring in enough about it. So Emerson was talking, well, Waldo, excuse me. I'm going to defer, like he's my boyfriend, Waldo. So he talks about the circles, but what's, I got a little deeper with it. That's the nerd in me. What's a tangent? A tangent, remember, let me back up for a minute. Let me go back to St. Augustine. St. Augustine of Hippo reminded us that God is the center of the circle with a circumference that is nowhere. Isn't that beautiful? But the nerd in me, I said, well, I'm going to break down the radius, diameter, you know? What is all this stuff? And so basically, even the radius and the diameter, everything's at the center, and it's in the circumference is nowhere. All of it, diameter, radius, all of it's the same. So I said, well, let's go a little farther. What's a tangent? A tangent is a line that hits two points on the circle, and then it goes off on its own. So if we make that in relation to what St. Augustine told us, that means that's an idea, a person that lives in the idea of, I know a little bit about God. I'm going to touch a little here, a little there. I'll go to a few classes. I'll half do meditation. I'll do my shallow breathing and not pass out. But I'm going off on my own. Because so what do we say about people that seem to have an idea of what we're talking about? We say they went off on a tangent. I don't know what they were talking about. They came in, they referenced a few things we talked about, but then they go off on their own. What's a chord? A chord is a line that comes into the circle, but it won't come in the center. So once again, that's someone that represents the idea of, I got this, I was there. I was there, didn't y'all see me? I was there. But you didn't embody the ideas, you didn't come into the fullness of what it was, that thankful spirit of, I have the courage to stand in this. And then it goes off on its own. And then the arc sits in the circumference, but it won't fulfill all the circumference. It just sits on the end. So I do it too. You know, sometimes I got that. I heard all that before. I'm not buying that book. They keep repeating themselves. Well, they keep repeating yourself. I mean, Jesus did a lot of repetitive teachings. Because what do we learn? Those of you, you know, education or whatever, learning comes through repetition, exactly. It's not just for the children, people. We need it too. And so, because it is, when you're trying to reform, I got to check my time because I got to be good for the Reformed Baptists here. When you're trying to reform yourself, there's nothing wrong with repetition. There's nothing wrong with repetition. Now, when you feel like you've moved to the next level, then show it. Show it to have the courage, to have the backbone, to be that conduit for understanding for other people. Be willing, that's what I want. Be willing to move more quickly. Space and time is not absolute. You can move more quickly than what you were told. You can heal more quickly than what you were told. These are principles that are up to us based on our ability or our willingness to embody them and live by them. So now that we're here for Thanksgiving, what happens for Thanksgiving is some of us have to go home and deal with people we don't like anymore. You know, I'm just teasing. Well, you know, you do your deep breathing. I'm just like, when they serve that pie, I'm out of here. All right, so. Because oftentimes they don't represent who we are anymore, but they're still a part of us. They're still a part of us, you know? And so I'm going to give you a tool. I used to be a part of an ACIM group, A Course in Miracles. And there was a lady there, I won't say her name, but she was a good friend of mine. COVID ended our group. But anyway, she's a white woman, and she would go home for Thanksgiving, and she would say, you know, I had grown so much, I got tired of the homophobic slurs and the racial slurs and the gender slurs. And she said, and I was, because they think you're with it because you grew up in it. They don't know, they know you're kind of different. And then, you know, they talk about you, whether or not you know it. Whether or not you know it. But she said one holiday she got so upset, she said, "Stop it! You're better than that." And she said, the eyes just got big. Everybody looked around. They stopped mid-sentence and mid-reaching for whatever food item. And she said, their eyes just got big. They kept looking at her. And I'm telling you, that's an excellent way and a thankful way to move someone into a new idea, because no one's going to say, no, I'm not better than that. I'm worse. They're not, even if it's true. And if they do, run, because that's just scary. Get out of there, you know. But she said, but every year it got a little better, a little better. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because a lot of us are dealing with family members who don't quite jive with where we are, but we can help them see a better view and vision for themselves. A lot of times when we call people out, we beat them up. That was so stupid. No one does that. That didn't even make sense. Well, now let's be honest. If someone spoke to you that way, do you want to be on their team? No, I don't. You don't want to be on their team. But if you can call them out. We got to call each other out. But raise them up. This is a way to raise people up and show them that a bigger way to be. We're going to go back to the circles with Emerson. Allow them to want to step into the circle that you created, not want to be a tangent that runs off on its own, or a cord that doesn't come in the middle of the arc, that sits over here on its own by itself looking at people like, what you want from me? You don't want that. You don't want that. So when Waldo was talking about drawing circles, I'm going to encourage you, draw circles. Keep drawing. Draw circles around your children, around your family, around that neighbor that won't get rid of that car that has the oil leaking, you know. Just keep drawing circles. And you can even do this. When you're standing around loved ones, just keep doing this. Just keep drawing something. Just keep drawing. And then when someone comes to you and says, what are you doing? Say, I'm saving the world. You're next. Just wait over there. I'll get to you. I'm over here now, you know. But these are things that we can do. We're raising the vibration, elevating everything. No one need ever know. We're so big on giving speeches that people don't want. But you know the best way, the best anecdote for change? Showing. I know this ain't Missouri. This ain't the show me state. But show. Show who you are. And a lot of you don't realize people are watching you. Oh, my God, I'm about to mess up the Baptist, y'all. People are watching you. Some of your children who you think are ignoring you, they're not. They're looking at you at the side of that. They're watching how you're handling adversity. They're watching how you move through things. My dad used to tease us. He used to tell the craziest jokes. And he would say, don't go to school and tell those jokes. And my sisters and I would say, no one's telling that jokes. Those jokes, we were telling those jokes. We were going to school telling all those jokes. And they're doing the same with you. They're watching you and they're modeling how you're managing when you got a diagnosis from the doctor, when the job said they were going to lay you off. They're modeling you. You may never know, and it may not be the kids, it may be the neighbors. It may be somebody's watching you, and that's why it's so important that we take these principles and these tools and we get the backbone to make them fulfill the wishes and desires of not only our world, but all those around us. We are light bearers, and it's our job to stand in the light and be the light, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. So I'm going to close out with this before my phone starts ticking and clinging. I want to take something else off what Michael was saying when he came up. There's an idea that everyone you meet is a reflection of who you are. Everyone you meet is a reflection of who you are. And so I just want to say that as I look out amongst you, I look good. Thank you. So now we're going to move into our meditation. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, if that's available to you, and know that that chair was there made to support you at this time. Take in the breath of God and releasing all that's no longer needed or wanted in your Christ experience. Let's just take in two more deep cleansing breaths. We're in a season of thankfulness, but we're always in a season of thankfulness because we understand that we're emissaries, products, beneficiaries, recipients of this idea when we hold it high, not only for ourselves, but for those lives that our life touches. We give thanks for these teachings of the Fillmores. We give thanks for this place called Unity of Wimberley, where we can come in mind, come in person, and revisit again and again to remind ourselves of who and whose we are. There are so many lessons that have fallen today that are falling right now today, not only from the pulpit, but from one another. A hug that someone received this morning from someone that maybe they saw recently or haven't seen in a while. An embrace, a wave, a word of encouragement. These are affirmations, edifications of things that we need in our spirit to go forth. Thankfulness is not just for a few, but everyone. We ask Spirit to reveal within us what is it that we are ready to release, that we're holding on to because we didn't know we could live without that. It doesn't have to be a big thing, and maybe it's bigger than anything we could ever imagine. Take this moment and the moments that will come. Maybe the idea won't fall on you today, or maybe it'll be later today. It may be next week, next month, or next year. But know that you are doing the work. And so this is moving through you to be an example, just as Jesus is still an example. Jesus said, greater things shall you do. Have the courage to be a part of that greater. Have the wisdom to move into that greater in a way that opens doors, opens minds, opens hearts. Any resistance you meet, Don't give it energy, but give it light. Give it light. Give it light, because you are light. We are light. You are peace. We are peace. And no matter what may come before you, as Jesus said, greater things shall you do. You will move through this. No one may ever know your name. You may never have an article written about you, And that does not diminish any of the work that you do that pays this forward, moves this forward, creates the beauty that is ours. So we'll begin to close out this time knowing that there is no end to this. This is the beginning of so many moments that will filter into other many moments. We continue, we love, and we appreciate. In the name and the nature of all that is good, perfect, holy, and well, we say amen, and so it is.